Okay, I want to begin with this story. I want to begin with this story. We have a lot of sources, a lot of text in front of us today, but I want to begin with a story that goes back to, I guess, some point in the early part of the 19th century. I'm not sure exactly when, but the early part of the 19th century when Rav Shalom of Kamenka, Rav Shalom Kamenker, for those taking notes, K-A-M-I-N-K-E-R, Rav Shalom Kamenker, was traveling with Rav Shalom of Belz, with the first Belzer Rebbe. And they were on their way to Belz, they were traveling to Belz. And like many a good Hasidah should tell, it was a difficult journey. They were traveling roads and forests and snow and ice. And eventually they made it to Belz. And it was clear from their appearance that it was a difficult journey. And someone asked the Sar Shalom of Belz, as he was known, the Sar Shalom of Belz, the first Belzer Rebbe. They said, Rebbe, how did you make it here? And he says, to tell you the truth, we made it here with two Kal Vachomers and two Gezeira Shavas. What does that mean, two Kal Vachomers and two Gezeira Shavas? He said, we set out by wagon, and our wagon was a decently, steady wagon, four wheels fully intact, proper cover, and as we're traveling along, all of a sudden, one of the wheels of our wagon fell off. We were reduced to three wheels. How do you travel with a wagon with only three wheels? They tried to fix the wagon wheel, they couldn't get it to work. So the Rebbe said, we made a Kal Vachomer. What was the Kal Vachomer? There are some modes of transportation that are able to travel with only two wheels. Take a bicycle, a motorcycle, right? A wheelbarrow has only one wheel. They said to themselves, if some vehicles can travel, if some modes of transportation can work with only two wheels, so Kal Vachomer, we have at least three wheels. So they kept going. They kept pushing along. And as they're going along through the ice and through the snow, all of a sudden the second wheel fell off, down to two wheels. So they said, Gezeira Shava. Gezeira Shava is when the Gemara says you have a word that appears here, one place in the Torah, you have a word that appears there and another place in the Torah, and we establish a link, some textual link between identical words or identical phrases in the Torah. So they said to themselves, Gezeira Shava. If a bike can go with two wheels, then a wagon can also go with two wheels. Gezeira Shava, two wheels to two wheels. They traveled on a bit further, and another wheel fell off. They're down to one wheel. How are they going to travel on a wagon with one wheel? So the Rebbe said to themselves, they said, Kal Vachomer, a sled is able to travel in the ice and snow with no wheels. And we have one wheel. So Kal Vachomer, we're doing okay, not bad. He said, we kept going a bit further until our final wheel fell off our wagon. We were reduced to zero wheels. And once again, we made a Gezeira Shava. If a sled is able to travel with no wheels, then apparently a wagon, Gezeira Shava, could also travel with no wheels, and Baruch Hashem, we made it to Belz. Chazal tell us that Sichas Chulin shel Talmidei Chachamim Tzrichim Limud, that even the jokes and even the light conversations of Talmidei Chachamim need to be studied in a deep way. The first Baba Varebi of Shlomo Halberstam, when he would tell this story, he told the story, he said, I have several explanations of this story. There's a lot to learn from such a story. But I think, on the simplest level, what I love about this story, and obviously in the context of this week's Parsha, Lech Lecha, what I love about the story is that willingness, that passion, and that drive, that sense of need to move forward. How we're going to get there, not exactly clear. Four wheels, three wheels, two wheels, one wheel, but we're going to get there. We have to get there. And with that sense of, again, that passion, that commitment, that sense of necessity, they drove themselves forward, using what would seem like otherwise laughable explanations, but somehow they found their way to Belz. I want to talk about how we're going to get somewhere without a clear destination, because I think that's a feeling that a lot of people have. It's certainly a feeling that I have. Very unclear what the future has in store for the world, for this country, for your college experience, for our shuls. So many areas of life, there's such a overwhelming uncertainty. And yet, I think we have to take strength from this story and get chizuk from this story that somehow we're going to get there. We're going to find a way to get there. But before we even get to that, I want to get there in a roundabout way. I want to ask you a couple of questions. What makes us human beings as opposed to animals? What is the essence of humanity? What makes us a human being? The Torah tells us in the first source, the Torah tells us, V'yitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama, a person was created, Adam was created dust from the earth. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, Hashem blew into Adam a spirit of life. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. And man became a living soul. You just told me, Hashem blew into Adam a spirit of life. What is being added? Vayihi ha'adam le'nefesh chaya. A person became a living soul. Targum Unkelis, the Aramaic translation, according to our tradition, goes back to Har Sinai itself, even though it's recorded it. Unkelis translates those last four words, Vayihi ha'adam chaya, v'havas ba'adam l'ruach memalala. That Hashem, as it were, placed within man a ruach, a spirit of memalala. That's the key word. What does memalala mean in Aramaic? Speaking. A speaking spirit. Adam was created on the sixth day. Adam was created on the sixth day. Animals have a spirit of life inside of them. Human beings have a spirit of life inside of them. But what sets us apart from the animal kingdom? It's fascinating. There's amazing studies and books written about the emotions of animals, the communication of animals, right? The relationships of animals. But I think we could all, in the simplest sense, agree that human beings have a unique ability to communicate, to talk to each other. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam a ruach mamala, a speaking spirit. Rashi, in a similar fashion, explains, lenefesh chaya, af behema v'chaya nikru nefesh chaya. Of course, animals are also nefesh chaya, they're also alive. They're more alive than a flower, which is also alive in a certain way, but nefesh chaya, certainly an animal also has a nefesh chaya, a living spirit. In what way is Adam called nefesh chaya? Explains Rashi in Bereishis Perek Beis, Achzo shel Adam chaya shebekulan. But human beings are the most alive. I love that expression, chaya shebekulan, the most alive. Why are we the most alive? How do we express our humanity? What makes us alive? Shenitosev bo deya v'dibor. That we have the added quality of deya, the ability to think, to reason, to be able to formulate ideas, v'dibor, and the ability to express those ideas. Speech is what separates us from animals. And it's very much the opening parashios of the Torah. And it's one of the ways that sometimes we figure out how to get ahead when we're feeling stuck. We have to learn how to communicate. Sometimes a person is stuck in a relationship or in life because they don't know how to express what they need, what they're expecting from someone else, or what they're trying to give to someone else. There's a breakdown in communication, and you see it a lot at the very beginning of the Torah. There's this total breakdown of communication. Speech is a very powerful thing. You see it from the opening words of the Torah, from the opening psukim, the opening parshios of the Torah. You see the power of speech. You see a dor haflaga. You see a migdal bavel trying to wage war against God, as it were, and Hashem confounds their speech as a way of undermining their efforts to attack Hashem. The pasuk tells us in Mishlei, "Berov devarim lo yechdal pesha." Why do you think the Chafetz Chaim advocated so strongly to be so self-aware of the importance of being mindful of our speech? Because the pasuk tells us in Mishlei, "Berov devarim," most words, "lo yechdal pesha," are not without sin. A lot of the things that come out of our mouth are hurtful, are painful, are confusing, are misleading, and we have to be very careful how we choose to speak. And therefore concludes the pasuk in Mishlei, "V'chosech svasav maskil," the wise person curbs his speech, is careful not to speak, because speech is so powerful. So powerful that Mishlei writes in source number 5, Maves v'chayim biyad lashon. Life and death, death and life are literally in the power of the tongue. And therefore, if we want to be good human beings, we have to be very much aware of the speech, the way that we choose to communicate. This is what separates us from the animal kingdom. The ability to speak, the ability to think, to formulate ideas, and to do so in a sensitive and healthy way. That's how we build the world as opposed to destroying the world. There's an unbelievable remez that emerges from last week's parsha, Parshas Noach. I know we have to get to Lech Lecha, but just stepping back into last week's parsha for a few moments. If Noach looks at a world that's falling apart, not just the end of the parsha with the Migdal Bavel, where they're waging war, and Hashem, again, undermines them by confusing their speech, showing that speech can be used in a holy way or a destructive way. But at the beginning of the parsha also, Noach is a person who understands the value of speech. You don't see that explicitly in the Torah. You don't even really see it, as far as I know, in terms of Chazal. The Psukim emphasize a society that is corrupt, a society that's perverse. But there's, if you read between the lines, you start to pick up on the sense that there must be a breakdown in speech. A society that can't function clearly can't communicate with each other. And therefore, the Torah tells us, Hashem says to Noah, I want you to build a boat. Not just any boat, a boat that's called a teva. What does the word teva mean? Teva means a word. Teva is an ark, but teva, tevot, are words. Right? Rashi tevos, sofei tevos, tevos are words. So Noach is told to build a teva. Gather your words, so to speak. What are the dimensions of the teva of Noach? It's remarkable. If you look in source number 6, the dimensions of the Teva of Noach, Zeh Asher Ta'aseh Osah, this is how it should be constructed. 300 amos long, 50 amos wide, Shloshim amakom asah, 30 amos high. If you were to convert those measurements, 300 by 50 by 30, if you were to convert them into the numerical equivalent, 30, that's lamed. 300, that's shin. 50, that's nun. Lamed shin nun is lashon. Noach, so to speak, built himself a teva. The dimensions of the teva were lashon. Noach understood that I have to save humanity, and part of saving humanity is saving our ability to speak. Because if we can't speak like humans, then we're not humans, we're animals. And that's why the Svarim HaKadoshim point out, the holy works of Chassidus point out, that if you go back to the pasuk we mentioned in source number 5, Mavis v'chayim biyad lashon, look at the Rashi Tevos, look at the first four letters of those four words. Mavis v'chayim biyad lashon is Rashi Tevos mabul. Because when there's a breakdown in speech, there's a mabul. Mabul means mubulbal, an inability to communicate. Right? Like the waves crashing down on each other as Hashem is bringing the destructive waters upon the world. So first and foremost, if we want to be human beings, the first step is to learn how to communicate. Okay, that's the difference between humans and animals. What's the difference? Let's go a step further. What's the difference between humans and angels? If I were to ask you, what separates us from the angels? Now, we don't know too much. I don't know. What do I know about Malachim? I mean, I could read the same psukim in Tanakh that you could read. What do we really know about angels? But we do find the description of the Malachim in several places, Pasuk in Yecheskel, Pasuk in Yeshayah, sources 7 and 8, that the angels are described as standing in a very rigid way. Raglehem regel yeshara, says the Navi Yecheskel in the first parak, describing awesome visions that he saw. Raglehem regel yeshara, I saw angels whose feet were yashar, were straight. Now that's a positive thing, because when we stand together with our feet during Shmona Esrei, the Gemara derives that from this pasuk. Raglehem regel yeshar, we stand with our feet together. We want to be angelic. Angels stand with their feet together. Or as the Navi Yeshayah says, Srafim omdim. Srafim, it's one of the categories of angels. They stand mima'alo, in the service of Hashem. And then it goes on to describe the wings of the angels. But their feet are very rigid. They're very straight. What separates, again, a person from a malach? And the answer is, it's our ability to take those feet and to actually move them forward. To not be stuck in our place. The Navi Zechariah in the third parak in source number 9. The Malach Hashem comes to Yoshua Kohen Gadol and he says to him, Ko amar Hashem Tzavakos, I want to describe to you what is expected of you, the expectation that I have for you. Im bidrachai teilech v'mes mishmarti sishmor, if you're loyal to the Dvar Hashem, if you're loyal to Torah and Mitzvos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to grant you access to my inner chambers, so to speak. So much so, says the Navi, V'nasati l'cho mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. A famous phrase that many Sifrei Machshava use to highlight this point, the difference between humans and angels. I'm going to make you mahalchim, walkers. I'm going to make you people who know how to go, holchim, those who know how to move forward, amongst the omdim, amongst the ones who stand still. On the one hand, it's the greatest schus that a malach has. A malach is created the way that it's supposed to be. It knows its job. It's able to be locked in, like its feet, locked into place. The Medrash says, actually, malachim don't have joints. They don't have kneecaps. They can't lower themselves. They also can't raise themselves. A malach is what it is. A malach is a shliach. He carries out his job. The malach performs its role in the world. Human beings have the ability to move, and we can move in a lot of different directions. We can move backwards, we can move forwards, we can move sideways, we can move all sorts of directions. Some movements are a step in the right direction. Some movements are a step in the wrong direction. But the ability to move actually makes us greater than the angels. Let's learn a piece from Rav Chaim of Elazhin in his magnum opus, the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim is responding really to a question that the Rishonim debated. Who is greater? Who is greater? Are humans greater or are angels greater? It's a big machlokas. The Rambam, the Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, they all seem to say that angels are in fact greater than human beings. Angels are freed from flesh and blood. Angels are freed from the outer trappings of a body. Angels are freed from, again, the ability to choose wrong in a certain level. An angel is almost perfect. So on a certain level, the angels are certainly greater than human beings. Rav Sadia Gaon, on the other hand, and I was just learning last night with some chaver from our shul, a piece in the Maharal, he argues vehemently that human beings are greater than angels. So who's right? Are angels greater than people? Are people better than angels? Says Rav Chaim of Elazhin, in his very beautiful and balanced way, they're both right. Va'al pi ze yevuar pesher davar be'inyan shinoi deos shebein gedolei harishonim. I'd like to explain to you, he says, this great machlokus between the great sages. Who is greater? Im ha'adam miYisrael gadol mehamalach? O malach gadol mimenu. Is a human being, is a Jew, able to surpass the level of the angels? Or is a malach by definition, because it's a perfectly created being, is a malach greater than a person of flesh and blood, with all of our shortcomings and all of our inconsistencies? Each of the two opinions bring all sorts of proofs to try to bolster their position. Angels are greater, humans are greater. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, you're both right. Be'emes elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both true, it's just a question of your perspective. He writes, Ki malach gadol mi'ha'adam hein be'etzem uhuso. In terms of the substance of an angel, the substance of an angel is much greater than a human being. The etzem mahus, the essential self of the malach, is greater than a human being, both in terms of its kedusha, in terms of its vantage point, than a human being down below. Ein erech v'dimyon b'neim klal, an angel is in a leap zone, far above human beings of flesh and blood. However, there's one way, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and it's the main way, and it's the reason that even though Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, I'll whisper it to you, we're better than angels. We're actually better. I'm just reminded of a story one of my rabbis told one time. He said there was a yeshiva bacher who was coming late to yeshiva for davening. And the altar Slobodka was not happy with him. So he went over to him and he said, you know, whatever his name is, Yankel, you know, you keep coming late for davening. You keep showing up so late. He's like, I don't get it. What's with you? So he says, Rabbi, what do you think I am? What do you think, I'm a malach? So he says, no, you're better than a malach. You're better than a malach. Show up on time for davening. You're better than a malach. We have to believe that we're better than malachim. There is one area in which we greatly surpass the malachim, and that is, v'hu ha'alos v'iskashos olamos v'kochos v'ha'oros echa b'chavero. The ability to make connections, to move pieces together, to move that yard marker, to move it forward, to be able to unify the world. An angel is created wherever it is, whatever its place is in the olamos, that's where it is, and that's where it stays. Asher zain b'koach chlal l'shum malach. But the malachim don't have the ability to move things forward, to make connections, to forge relationships in the same way, even though the angels also, Chazal described them, and the Pesukim described them as getting along with each other, but they can't be creative, they can't build, they can't move forward. A malach hu be'etzem koach echad prati. A malach has its thing, whatever it is. It's not connected to everything else that's going on around it. However, a human being has the ability to make those connections. And furthermore, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, v'gam alias atzmuso shel ha-malach. The essence of the malach, to elevate it, to change its stature, to go from point A to point B, from level 1 to level 2, there's no such thing by a malach. A malach can't change its madriga, can't change its level. Human beings can. Raka odom lavad, continues Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He quotes the psukim that we referenced, the pasuk in Yeshaya, srafim omdim, the pasuk in Zechariah, it's supposed to say parak gimel over here, not parak beis. Menasati lacham ahalchim bena omdim ha'ela. To be movers, to be goers, people who move ahead. Only human beings, raka odom lavad, hu amaylev amakashru miyached as ha'olamos va'oros. To tie together all the spiritual energy of the universe, to make something of it, through the actions, b'koach masav, we have the ability to do that. You know why? Machmas shehu kolol mikulam, because every one of us is an entire world, and we're made up of the entire world. And you know what happens when we move ourselves forward? We move the angels forward. V'azgam ha'malach masig aliyah v'tosefes kedusha kedushasa. The malach whose feet are stuck in its place, without joint in its legs to raise itself up or to lower itself down. The malach looks to us to move it forward. The malach looks to us to somehow to constantly change, you know, to change the expectations of the game, to make those connections, to move things forward. Mipnei shegam hu kol ba'adam, because that malach itself is connected to us. And now we're ready to come to this week's parsha. Now we're ready to approach this week's parsha. We come into the world of Lech Lecha. The first word spoken, the first of the challenges, the first of the nisyonos that is given to Avram Avinu, and in a certain sense, I want you to think of it as really the first words of Torah ever spoken. If I asked you, where does the Torah begin? You'll say, Bereishis bar Elokim. If I said, give me another answer. So you'll say, oh, you mean the first Rashi in Chumash? HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, the moment when the Jewish people start getting mitzvahs. I said, give me another answer. I don't know, Anochi Hashem Elokecha at Har Sinai, the first of the Ten Commandments. Give me another answer. Did you ever think, maybe Lech Lecha Me'artzecha are really the first words of Torah, not the first words written in the Torah, not the first words we heard at Har Sinai, the first words of Torah ever spoken in a certain sense, is when the first Jew, the first Ma'amin, the first believer, the first monotheist, Avram Avinu, who discovered Hashem, Avram Avinu, whose life emerges in these parshios, the story of Lech Lecha and Vayera, these next 2 weeks are the stories of Avram Avinu. That's why the tzaddikim say the gematria of Lech Lecha is 100, the gematria of Vayera, Vav Yud Resh Aleph, is how much? 217. Put it together, Lech Lecha Vayera, the two parshios of Avram, is 317. Lech Lecha is 100, Vayera is gematria 217. 317 is gematria Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is gematria 317. So these two parshios are the parshios of Avram Avinu. This is where we learn about Avram Avinu, his nisyonos, his struggles, right, his values. So Hashem says to Avraham, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. I want you to leave your home. Writes Rav Yosef Engel, one of the greatest Torah geniuses of, I would say, the last 100 years. He passed away over 100 years ago now, right, in 1920. Rav Yosef Engel was a Polish gaon. His writings are unbelievably deep in all areas of Torah. I said to one of my friends today, I can't even begin to imagine how one human being could have written so much Torah in his lifetime. To think of it and to record it and to organize it, it's unbelievable. Rav Yosef Engel was a genius, an unbelievable Torah genius. And he writes in his Sefer Beis HaOtzer, and it's really in a halachic context, which is not relevant to us at this moment, but he writes the following words. And I was very captivated by these words. Medibur Rishon, in source number 12. Midibur Rishon Shinedaber Hashem LaAvram. From the first words that Hashem speaks to the first believing Jew, the one who pointed and said, I believe that there's something out there. From the moment that Hashem says to Avraham, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, Kvar Hayazeh HaHizgalus HaElokus. This is the moment where God starts to reveal himself, where Hashem is manifest in the world. V'hadibur Lo Inyan Torah. And the words spoken to Avraham, he's the first one to hear Torah, to hear the command of Hashem. Lech lecha me'artzecha. U'me'oz kvar huschal inyan ha-Torah. And it's from this point that Torah begins. Which he goes on to explain halachically how Avram's making converts, right? Avram, es ha-nefesh eser asu b'charan. He's converting them to what? To what religion? To the religion of Torah. Because Torah begins, to the religion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Torah begins when Avram gets that message. So I want to think about it now for a moment. If those are the first words of Torah ever spoken, so it must be that in a certain sense, this is the essence of the mission of the Jewish people. Lech lecha me'artzecha. And there's a lot to unpack in that. Is Lech lecha me'artzecha about just getting to Eretz Yisrael? That's a big part of it. But even before, wherever Avram's going, how about just the first two words? Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha. I want you to be someone who's what? Who's going. I want you to surpass the angels. I want you to be someone who's moving forward. The world's going to need a lot of helpers to help move the world forward, to reveal my presence in the world. The marching orders, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael, encapsulated in this first word of Torah ever spoken to Avraham Avinu, the first believing Jew, is Lech Lecha. I want you to grow. I want you to move. And Avraham Avinu is going to have a big nisayon with that. We'll come back to that in a few moments. But I want you to realize that this is the theme in the Torah. How are we going to move forward? The Jewish people have to always be thinking, how are we going to move forward? When the whole world is stuck, and we're not sure what's going to happen next, and we ourselves may not be sure how we're going to move forward, we have to be thinking about moving forward. That has to be something that permeates our being. How are we going to move forward? In a physical sense, in an emotional sense, in a grandiose world, you know, order sense, we have to keep moving things forward. The Jewish people have always pushed humanity forward in the right direction. And throughout the Torah we find that the desire to stop the Jews from moving forward is one of the attacks of our enemies. and the desire to move forward is the hallmark of our leaders. What do I mean by that? When Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayishlach gets into a fight with a malach, he's literally fighting a malach, and the malach injures Yaakov Avinu. Where does he injure him? Is it a blow to the stomach? A punch in the head? Where does he hit him? We don't eat the Gid HaNasha until this very day because of what happened where Yaakov was limping. Because the malach was Naga Bekaf Yerech Yaakov. He hit him in his thigh. What is the imagery of being hit in the thigh? Why did he hit him in the leg? Yaakov is limping as he emerges from that fight against the malach. Think about it in the context of what we learned from the Nefesh HaChayim. The struggle of humans versus malachim. The malach doesn't want Yaakov to get ahead. Why should you be allowed to move forward? Sarah Shal Esav, the malach of Esav. Why should you be allowed to move forward? And he tries to slow Yaakov down. Says the Netziv in his commentary on Torah, the Hamek Dover in Source 14. Rosh ha'ever ha'misnaneya behiluch ha'adam. He didn't hit him there by chance. He hit him in the leg because he wanted to stop his movement. He hit him at the top of the aver, of the limb, that moves a person forward. He was trying to undermine his ability to move. And that's the fight of Yaakov Avinu, and that's the fight of Klal Yisrael. We're all called Bnei Yaakov. We're all called Bnei Yisrael. Our job is to keep fighting, to find a way to move forward. If it means limping forward, then we'll limp forward. But we've got to keep that wagon moving forward. We've got to find a way to push ahead. At the end of his career as a leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the Jewish people and he says, I'm nervous. I'm really nervous. Moshe, what are you nervous about? I'm nervous that the Jewish people are going to get stuck. I'm worried that they're not going to keep pushing forward. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Klal Yisrael at the end of his life and he says to them, Atem nitzavim hayom. You are all standing here today. There's a subtle mussar in that. Rav Yaakov Katina, who was a Rav in Chust in Western Ukraine, he wrote a sefer called Karban Ha'ani. And in the Karban Ha'ani, he contrasts Parshas Nitzavim and Parshas Vayelech. Think about it. How do we see Moshe on his last day of his life? After a very busy career of moving and doing and making it happen. How do we encounter Moshe at the end? And what is his final rebuke, as it were, to Klal Yisrael? Atem nitzavim hayom. You're standing here today. Yesh lomar. He writes in Source 15. Dihine yadua de malach nikra omid. We've learned today that a malach is called an omid. Kiem tamid b'madrega achas. A malach is always on one level. It doesn't have the ability to change. And an adam is nikra holech. A person has the ability to choose, to move. Ki tamid tzarech leilich mimadrega lamadrega b'avodas Hashem kol yimei chayav. We have to constantly be striving. Never to feel stuck, to always find a way to grow in our avodas Hashem, to make that world a better place. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Klal Yisrael, mamish at the end of his life, and he says, my dear Jews, brothers and sisters, I'm really nervous. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. I'm scared that you're standing still. I'm scared that you're b'madrega achas, and that's not a good thing. You need to keep moving. Writes Rav Yaakov Katina in Parshas Vayelech, only a couple paragraphs later in his Sefer. How do we encounter Moshe? What's the picture the Torah wants us to take with Moshe at the end of his life? Vayelech Moshe. Moshe was a holich. Moshe kept going. Full strength, 120 years old. Moshe didn't die because he gave up, because he wasn't driven anymore, because he didn't want to keep doing. Moshe died because Hashem told him it's time to die. But mamish till the last day of his life, Vayelech Moshe. Says Rav Yaakov Katina, Moshe is rebuking, contrasted with the Atem Nitzavim, of which he criticized Klal Yisrael. Heid ha-kosev al-Moshe sha'af biyom misoso hayv madregas holich. The Torah is testifying to the fact that on the day of his death, Moshe Rabbeinu continued to be what? Continued to be a holich. And now we're really ready to engage in a very honest way. It looks like I mislabeled the sources. I can see we have 217s. That's good. You know why 217s is good? Because 17 is Gematria Tov. And it's good. It's a double dose of goodness. Like the second day of creation, it didn't say Tov, but on the third day it did say double Tov. Okay, so we have a double Tov. It's all good. It's all good. Okay, my friends, listen. Let's think about this pasuk in a real way, maybe for the first time ever. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Avram, I want you to go. Now. Okay, I'm happy to do for you, Hashem. Where are we going? El ha'aretz asher ara'eka. To the place that I will show you. My friends, let me ask you. If you get instructions to go somewhere, right? I need you to go. You get a phone call. Yeah? You get a call from a friend, a parent, a sibling. I need you to go. Can you do me a favor? Can you go somewhere for me? Sure. Where am I going? I can't tell you. Well, where should I go? Just start going. Should I walk? Should I drive? Should I go north? Should I go south? What do you mean, just go? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, just go. Pack your bags and just go. How do I take the first step? Where do I go? Ela Aris Asher Echo. I'll show you. Eventually I'll show you. Am I even moving in the right direction? There's such a profound mussar in that. There's such a profound challenge in that. Hashem says to Avraham, I just need you to be someone who's committed to going. It's not all about the destination. I'll tell you, eventually you'll get there. Show me that you're a person of movement. Show me that you're a person of growth. Show me that you're not stuck. Because I need the Jewish people. I need humanity, and even more so, I need you, the first Jew, to lead the way of the goers, the doers, the people who move forward. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes in that pasuk, Ela Aretz Asher Eka, Perish Shelo Hodio. He didn't tell him where he was going. Lirosim Yemaher Lasos Devar Melech Shilton. Hashem wanted to see, would he be quick to carry out, paraphrasing the pasuk in Koheles, Devar Melech. The command of the king, Shilton, is authoritative. If the king says jump, are you ready to jump? How do you respond? How high should I jump? Master, tell me, what should I do? Where should I go? Respond immediately. Hashem says, go. Are you ready to go? Are your bags packed? Are you ready to go? If Mashiach comes and Hashem says, just go. Where am I going? Mibli das hamakum. He had no idea where he was going. And the Rachaim uses a beautiful expression. V'zeh nisayon mehay nisyonos. This is like the ultimate test. To be someone who knows that I have to keep moving even if I don't really know where I'm trying to get to, that's a massive nisayon. But Avraham Avinu took on that challenge. Avraham Avinu responded to Hashem's call to him, Lech Lecha, I just need you to go. And Avraham said, you know, Hineni, I'm here. I'm ready to do it. We'll figure it out along the way, I guess. That was unbelievably courageous. And it's not reckless. I don't want you to look at this pasuk and say, that's a reckless thing to do. What do you mean, just move forward? We have to think. We got to figure out what the next move should be. We should. We do need to think. We do need to think what the next move is. And I'm not advocating pushing ahead in any type of reckless way. But there has to be an underlying conclusion before we even start that we have to go. That we have to go. Our attitude has to be, we got to find a way to move forward. We don't always know how to move forward, but we have to find a way to move forward. Sfas Emes writes in this week's Parsha, from the year Tav Resh Nun Vav, going back to the year 18, what year would that be? 1896. The Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe explained, Lech lecha me'artzecha, ki ha'adam nikra mahalech, a person, this is the essence of being a human being. Not just human versus animal, like we spoke about at the beginning of this year. Human versus angel. Be a mahalech, be a person who goes, who moves forward. Ki ha'adam nikra mahalech, vitzarech la'olam leilech madrega l'madrega. Lech lecha, right? Lech lecha, it's almost like a double lashon of going and going, and keep going. Never rest on your laurels. Find a way to move forward. Uletzeis min hahergel v'hateva. Find a way to break whatever is your norm, whatever you've accepted as sort of my standard. Try to push it a little bit further. V'afil kishezoichin la'eza madrega v'avodas habori yisbarach. Even when you attain a certain level of success, mikol makom gam bezeh hahergel nasa teva sheni. Over time, that'll become normal for you. Don't be satisfied with that. Find a way to move ahead. Always find a way, b'chol eis l'chadish drachim, b'avodas Hashem. Find new ways to move forward. My friends, life itself is defined by movement. Think about it. The early Jewish philosophers broke down the whole world into four categories. You have speakers, medaber, those who are humans, the ability to speak. You have chaya, animal life. You have tzomeach, plant life. And then you have the fourth and lowest category, which we call domeim, which means silent, inanimate objects. Again, domeim, from the bottom up, domeim, tzomeach, chai, animal life, and then medaber, humans, speakers, those who have the ability to speak. What do we call the lowest category? Domeim. Domeim means silent. Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't like the translation inanimate, because everything is alive with some spark of godliness. But usually domeim is translated as inanimate. It's not alive. It's the lowest category of life. Something that can't move is lacking life. And a flower which is able to grow, but only in its place, is a little more alive. An animal that can move more freely is even more alive. A human being who can build airplanes and travel the whole world is even more alive. The more a person can move, the more alive a person is. And that's what Hashem is saying to Avram Avinu. We have to find a way to keep moving. The Piazetzner Rebbe in the second to last source gives a mashal. He says, imagine, he quotes from the Kuznetzer Magid. He says, imagine a person on a battlefield gets shot in the leg. Imagine that poor fellow gets shot in the leg. And he's standing there feeling bad for himself, looking at his wound. He's busy there. He's busy on the battlefield, you know, slowly, carefully bandaging his wound. And another soldier turns to him and says, what are you doing? Buddy, what are you doing? So he says, I got injured. I have to attend to my wounds. He says, you got to get out of the way. If you stay where you are, you're not only going to get shot in the leg, you're going to get shot in the head, God forbid. You've got to keep moving. I know you're limping. I know you're bleeding. You know, tie up your leg and keep moving. Of course it's hard. Yaakov Avinu was injured in the leg, but he found a way to keep moving. And therefore, it's imperative for the Jewish people at all points of Jewish history to find a way to keep moving. So now we get practical for the last 2 minutes of this year. A lot of beautiful Torah, but now we have to get practical. So how are we going to move forward? And if Avram Avinu wasn't told exactly how it's going to play out, what makes us think that we're going to know? We don't have the directions. We didn't get the instructions. We don't know exactly where Hashem wants us to go. We have no idea where we're trying to get to. I mean, we kind of know the end game is Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach, the same like Avram. We're moving towards Geula. We're trying to refine the world. We're not exactly sure what are the steps. How do I get there? So I want to give you one other story with a bit of advice, which maybe will help us to get there. There was a Jew from Lulav who was traveling to Lublin, to his Rebbe in Lublin. He wasn't sure exactly how to get there. He's traveling along a highway, and his friends tell him, they say, just take this highway all the way down, and when you get to the crossroad up ahead, you'll see a signpost with different arrows pointing in the direction of the different cities. Like a good Hasidic Shemaisa, it was snowy, it was icy, like the story we began with, and he gets to the crossroad, and there's no sign. He looks in the snow, and he sees that the sign had fallen down. And he picks up the sign, and it's got all these arrows pointing in a million different directions, and he has no idea which one gets him to Lublin. He can't figure it out. And then all of a sudden he realizes, wait a minute, I know how to get to Lublin. I do know how to get to Lublin. How am I going to figure out which direction is Lublin? I could spin this signpost any direction I want. He said, but I know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from Lulav. If I take the arrow that's pointing and I point it back in the direction that I came from, then I know which way to position this post. And then I can figure out how to get from here to Lublin. My friends, I think the best way for us to move forward is to get chizuk from the fact that we've made it this far. It's a chiddush. It's really a chiddush. The survival of the Jewish people, the survival of the world, bichlal, the fact that we've made it this far, for all the imperfections that exist in the world's functioning. And at times it feels really broken. And at times it seems like Klal Yisrael is really broken. And it's not exactly clear exactly, you know, what are the next steps. But when we look back and we say, you know what? The Jewish people are resilient. We've overcome a lot of difficult things throughout history. Yeah, there may be a pandemic that's still raging in some form in the world right now, and there may be a lot of things that are totally out of whack right now. But when I look back, I see the road that I've traveled, and I have a sense of belonging. If I know where I'm coming from, then I'm able to direct myself to where I'm trying to get to. So we go back to the wagon that we started today's shir with. Rav Shalom Kamiker and Rav Shalom Belzer. A wagon with 4 wheels, a wagon with 3 wheels, a wagon with 2 wheels, a wagon with 1 wheel. And they found a way, using interesting little svaras, kal vachomers, gzereshal, they found a way to push ahead. So my bracha to us is we should also find a way to push ahead. In the final source for today, the Navi Yeshaya tells us, Ha'am ha'holchem b'choshech, ra'u or gadol. The nation that walked in darkness saw a great light. And the Maggid of Mezrich, the second leader of the Hasidic world, explained. The Mezricher Maggid explained that it's not describing Jews who what? Who sat in their place and closed their eyes and waited for the darkness to pass over. They didn't get stuck. They didn't sit. They didn't stand. They're a nation that continues to be holchim, to push ahead, even when it's dark, even when it's confusing, even when it's lech lecha me'artzecha, where are we going, Hashem? El ha'aretz asher eka. We'll find out eventually. When we continue to push ahead, when we climb through that darkness and break through those barriers and those walls, whatever it is, whether they're physical barriers or barriers of our mind, when we find a way to push ahead, then eventually we're zocha to see that Or Gadol. We're able to see that great light. And that's that great light of the Geula that we long for each and every day of our life. So, my friends, like Avram the first Jew, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, respond to the mission statement. continue to be people who find ways to just keep growing, keep moving, keep rising to that challenge that we face in our world today. And Amir Tzashem will be zochah to see that great light once and for all. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen. Thank you very much for being here. If anyone has any questions, comments, critiques, happy to listen. You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for being here.